Today, I encourage you to open them to Hebrews chapter 10 is where I'm going to be speaking from. I'm glad that you're here today on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning. Now, some of you have, those of you who have lived in South Dakota some of your lives know that sometimes on Easter Sunday, it's not so bright and sunny. Sometimes a little colder, and sometimes there's some white stuff that's coming down, but that's not today. Today is a wonderful Easter Sunday. It's forecasted for us to be a wonderful day of weather. And I understand that each of us find ourselves in a different spiritual place right now. And I know that we need Christ, and I encourage you to focus on Him today. The title of the message is The One Thing, and here is the one thing that I'm going to repeat again and again today. Many of you know this, but let me give it to you. Christ died for our sins. I'm going to repeat that again. Christ died for our sins. This is the one thing you need to know and you need to realize and act upon. Now, many of you here are a part of First Wesleyan, and so you know I've been going through Hebrews. And so I'm going to stay in Hebrews today because it's a great passage to talk to us about Easter Sunday. And so I'm going to be preaching from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Here's what it says. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he's perfected all, for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Some of you are following along and you love to write some things on your little flyer there. Feel free to write this. There was a single sacrifice for sins. First, we have to understand that there is sin. Adam and Eve were the first people and they sinned, which, according to Romans, brought sin into the world. Sin is everywhere, but we can be free from the sin through the sacrifice for our sins, which is Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there was animal sacrifices, as many of you know, that were made in order to pay for the penalty of sin. If you look into Leviticus, you will see that every day there would be sacrifices that were made. If you look into Leviticus, you will see that there was a burnt offering, there was a meat offering, there was a drink offering, there was a daily meat offering of the high priest, there was an offering of incense. If you were ever been involved in the Catholic Church at all, you know the incense, that's a whole different smell. Every morning, every evening were these sacrifices. The priest, day in and day out, kept offering these sacrifices, and there was no end to this process. But it still left men conscious of their sin and alienated from God. After a while, I'm assuming someone said, you know, we've got to do better than this. There's just got to be something different because we have to offer sacrifices every day, and they did that. Sometimes I wonder if we try to still sacrifice for our sins. When we try to go through the motions or we say, I'm going to stop doing that, and then we continue to do that, and we're still trying to sacrifice. Well, Jesus came to give us hope and life. One day, a few years back, I was living in Sioux Falls, and for Christmas, we were given some chocolate-covered almonds. We got a nice little bucket of them. Manel and I both liked these, and I think my kids were too young that they didn't ever get to enjoy those, so sorry, kids, but they were really good. And I had a sweatshirt. It was a green sweatshirt that I had that was kind of one of my nice sweatshirts. You know, I think you understand this. Sometimes you have nice clothes, and sometimes you have work clothes, and sometimes you have kind of in-between clothes. Well, this is one of my nice sweatshirts, you know, one of those that I kind of liked, and if I was going anywhere special, maybe I'd put that sweatshirt on versus my other sweatshirt that wasn't so nice. Well, I was wearing that sweatshirt, and we were getting ready to watch TV or a movie of some kind, and so I had these chocolate-covered almonds in my hand, but I really didn't want them to melt in my hand because, you know, body temperature and all that stuff. And so I thought, well, as I'm sitting there, I'm just going to, in the fold of my sweatshirt, I'm going to put those chocolate-covered almonds. So sure enough, I'm sitting there, I put those chocolate-covered almonds in my sweatshirt, and I start watching TV, and I start watching the movie, and guess what? My body temperature went ahead and melted those almonds. I thought, well, that's no big deal. You know, we'll just get some shout, we'll just get something, and we'll just take care of that chocolate-covered on my sweatshirt. But you know what? We couldn't get it out. There was still a stain right there on my nice sweatshirt. This is not a good thing because, I mean, I want to wear my nice sweatshirt to nice places, but you can't do that. Hey, you got a stain on the middle of your sweatshirt right there, Steve. Oh, yeah, chocolate-covered almonds. I know what it was. And it just stayed there. So guess what happened? My nice sweatshirt, which really bumps me out. I don't know about you, but when I have something that's, like, really nice, and then you get a stain on it, and like, even if you didn't pay a lot of money for it, you really like that, and then all of a sudden you have a stain on it, and you're like, ah, that was like a really nice, and then now I can't wear that when I go with the mayor. Hey, Steve, you got a mark right there. Well, the reason why I share that story is that it went from my nice stuff to the work closet. Your sin stains you. And like I said, no matter what we tried, we couldn't get that stain out. It was there. And you can't get away from the sin stain that is in your life. It's there, just like it was on my sweatshirt. No matter what I tried, it was there. Sometimes when we get dirty, there's nothing as refreshing as a shower. However, when we sin, no bath, no shower, no hose can erase the sin that is there. But Jesus Christ can help us with our sins. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But, I love those words in Scripture when it talks about these things, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Let me repeat to you, Christ died for your sins. The second thing I see here from this passage is one single offering sanctifies you. In my understanding, this is just absolutely crazy. No other offers you this great reward. I don't know about you, but sometimes you get a little thing in the mail, credit card. No interest, no anything. Come, sign up with us. And I always know that in the fine print somewhere, that if I don't have that bill paid by a certain time, I am in major trouble because the interest is like 18% or 24% or some crazy amount. Nothing free. But this is interesting. When the single sacrifice sanctifies you. Sanctify means to make you holy, set you apart, means your sin are gone and you are holy. Christ died for your sins by offering up himself. If you've been around the church much, you know that there is an offering that is taken. Now, some of us that, in my opinion, aren't trusting God, or we've found ourselves in an upside-down world with our finances, we don't like the offering time because, well, we feel a little guilty by not giving anything to the church. Some of us are like this. I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and I was able to visit a church, and it was called Lake Community Church, and they said in their brochures, they're like, come to the Welcome Center, and we'll have a gift for you. Well, I thought about going, thought about not going, and so I decided, well, I'll go. And so I'm back there talking with a guy, and my kids are with me, and I'm talking to Johnny about what we should do. It was in Minnesota. I was like, I always like to ask the question, if you're not familiar with the place, what should we do in your town? Give me the inside, because you have the tourist guy, but there's always something like the Devil's Bathtub. Not everybody knows about Devil's Bathtub in the hills, but if you're from the hills, you probably know about the Devil's Bathtub or Hippie Hole. Hippie Hole? Yeah, I think it is Hippie Hole, isn't it? There's poison ivy there. Right, Malins? Malins are in the service. No, you guys went on the French Creek. That's where you found the wrong place. But there is poison ivy along Hippie Hole. Well, as I was back there, I said, well, what should we do? And he handed me a gift bag, and he said, well, you should go to Pizza Ranch. I was like, okay. Well, that wasn't necessarily intriguing that it's the only place in Alexandria. But so he gave me a Pizza Ranch gift card. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. It's $20. This is it. This is actually the one that they gave to me. It's $20. I was like, wow, that's kind of nice. My family eats kind of frugally. Obviously, if you've been to Pizza Ranch, it's about 10 bucks a person. 10 times 6 is $60. 20 bucks doesn't do much for us. However, you can usually get like a carryout for like $6.99. So we got two medium pizza carryout, and we got cactus bread. And guess what? It was $19.32. I still have 68 cents left on this. And we ate, and my kids loved the cactus bread. Is that not correct? Well, I got to thinking about this after that service. I was like, I didn't put any money in the offering. Maybe I should have put something in the offering. I mean, I went to the service. I'm probably never going to go back to that church ever again because I don't anticipate going to that town ever again. And I didn't put anything in the offering. So I felt a little guilty about that. I was like, they gave me 20 bucks and gift card and we enjoyed it. Maybe I should have given something. I mean, should I send money in now? I mean, that seems kind of goofy. Hey, thanks for letting me come to your church and I was a guest of yours and thank you. And here's just a gift of offering. It's interesting. I don't think that they really wanted my money. Maybe they do. But this was a gift of theirs. Saying thanks. And I didn't ask Johnny. I didn't say, hey, Johnny, do you have any gift cards that I can have? No, I didn't. They said, come to the Welcome Center. And so I did. And so they gave me a gift. We get a little squirmy when a pastor starts talking about offering money. And actually, as you know, now many of you attend First Wesleyan Church, so you know I talk about offering on occasion. I don't talk about it a lot. But I'm assuming in service number 2 and service number 3, there's going to be some people that don't necessarily give to the church. And you might be saying, Pastor Steve, what are you doing? You're going to talk about giving money to the church on Easter Sunday? Because we get a little squirmy about that. And I typically try to stay away from that. I don't even want to talk about money on Easter because there are some people who say, all the church wants is money. All the church wants is money. But I think of this when I look at this scripture. In verse 14, here's what it says. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Christ was our offering. He gave of himself for us. In a little bit, we're going to pass the offering plate. Some of you came ready to give. Some of you are not planning to give, and that's fine. If you want to give, feel free to give unto the Lord. But here's a greater way, I think, that you should give. I think you should give of yourself because Christ gave of the single offering of himself for you. And the way that you can offer yourself back to the Lord is by saying yes to him. Yes to who he was and accepting him and his grace. See, Jesus came knowing he was going to die on the cross. He knew that this single offering of his life would enable us to be freed from our sins. Wouldn't everybody want this? Not everybody realizes they're in sin. Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's my contention that if you don't know Christ, then you are lost in your sins, and those sins are causing great difficulty for peace in your life. Now, we can look and we can say, well, God, we can ignore that. But God continues to say this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why? Because Christ died for our sins. Sometimes we are blind to the offering that Christ made. Christ's sacrifice does not need to be repeated. And it cannot be repeated. Great works are unrepeatable. I want you to think of any great work that's happened. It can't be repeated. The fifth or the ninth symphony of Beethoven will not be repeated. Christ's sacrifice is so great, it cannot and does not need to be repeated. Praise God, because his sacrifice shows the perfect love of God. As I mentioned, the single sacrifice, it says, sanctifies you. Now, this word sanctifies is in the present tense, and it means an ongoing process. It's a part of you being made new continually. I want you to look at it this way. If you have accepted Christ, or you are accepting Christ, that means you are a Christian. That doesn't mean you have it all figured out, but God is sanctifying you as you continue in this life. That's what it should be. You continue to move forward. Look at it in this way, an illustration. Some of you possibly are mechanics. Now, when you first started as a mechanic, you didn't know a whole lot. Actually, you might have learned of an oil change. That's like a basic thing. I'm like, I know how to change the oil. Well, are you a mechanic? I'm a mechanic. I know how to change the oil. You're not a mechanic if you know how to change the oil. I mean, that's just simple. But when you start as a mechanic, you start learning things. And whether you're a mechanic at the beginning of an oil change or you're a mechanic who knows about a lot of stuff, from carburetors to mufflers to all kinds of things in the engine, you're a mechanic. Did it change? No, you became more wise as a mechanic. Or think about it this way, as a coach. You get your first coaching job and you're like, I'm a coach. And I'm Coach Selfridge. Well, are you as good a coach here as you are here in your career? Probably not. Why? Because you've learned so much more. You've learned how to involve people and use certain people at certain times and know different skills, but you're still a coach. Whatever profession you're in, you are that person. Think of a teacher. If you're a teacher, you start and you get your first day on the job and you're nervous as all get out and you have your lesson plan in line and sometimes like, oh, I should have had more. That wasn't good. And you find yourself in great difficulty. Well, you're still a teacher here than when you're a teacher when you retire, but you know a lot more in between this whole involvement. Think of yourself as a seamstress. When you first sew your first little pillow or you first sew your first little cross on whatever, your little garment, are you a seamstress? Well, they might call you a seamstress, but then you think about later on when you've been sewing and sewing and sewing and you get to this point, there's a lot, but you're still called a seamstress. In the same way, Christ sanctifies you, and when you step into the Christian life, you are called a Christian, a Christ follower. And then when you die, you're still a Christ follower, but God has been sanctifying you and been working in your heart and in your spiritual life in an exciting way. Christ died for your sins. Here's what it says in verse 15. And the Holy Spirit bears witness. The Holy Spirit is also mentioned as a comforter. And when you know Christ, the Holy Spirit deep within bears witness of what has happened and what was done. I don't know how to describe this, and so I'm just going to say it like this. When the Holy Spirit bears witness, you know, and others around you know. That's all I can say. When the Holy Spirit bears witness and you are truly saved and you know Jesus Christ in your life, you know, and other people know. And you see it in other people as well. If they're a Christ follower, you know it. You just know. There's just something different about a person who's a Christ follower. There's just something you see, and it bears witness. And you just say, that person's a Christ follower. You just know. Because the Holy Spirit, deep within, bears witness. How does that come out? It comes out in your language. It comes out in your actions. It comes out in your time commitments. It comes out in your attitudes. It comes out in that way, and the Holy Spirit bears witness. Christ died for your sins. And then it says this, verse 17, sins are remembered no more. He has perfected. It says, who are being sanctified? You are being made holy if you're a Christian. Now, I'm not trying to excuse anyone this morning. Okay, maybe I am. Sometimes people don't want to come to church because there are so many hypocrites there. There are so many hypocrites, but I don't view it that way. I view it that if people are trying, aiming, desiring to better in their walk with the Lord, which will enable them to follow closer to Christ. But sometimes we stumble along the way. Christ died for your sins. And by a single prayer, you can have this redeeming salvation. Why? Because Christ died for your sins. And Jeremiah 31:34 says, I will remember their sins no more. So what do we do with this? We can think that Christ was a neat man and that's all. Or we can think that those who are weak need a crutch and so they depend upon this Jesus. Or you can accept that Christ died for our sins. You can receive Christ's love and receive his offering of his life to pay off the debt of sin in your life. And you can live for him. We simply cannot do it on our own. I want you to hear the words of this song. And it talks about Christ's mercy. Here's what it says. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weak, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment. His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. I have a video I want you to watch for a couple of moments here. Pay attention to the screen.
I could hear that they were close on to the road, and not just because I had great hearing to make up for my blind eyes. I mean, this was a roar. People cheering and clapping and singing. As I got closer, I tried to listen as carefully as I could, see if I could make out what they were saying. I knew that they were coming my way. See, some of us sat by the main gates where most people would come and go. I know people by how they walk, whether they drag their feet or not. And every day I just sat there and waited for mercy. But all I could do was listen. Suddenly I realized that they cheered for him. Some grumbled even speaking his name. Others said he was the Messiah. But a handful of them had witnessed him healing people. I crawled closer to the road, afraid that I might be trampled. I could hear that there were a lot of people coming. Is that him? Is that the teacher? Anyone? Tell me, is it him? And someone said, yes. It was Jesus, and to this day, I can't explain it, but I just yelled. I yelled louder than I had ever yelled. Son of David, have mercy on me.
he heard me and he came over where I was and asked what I wanted to see. And then everything I had always hoped to lay my eyes on was there before me. I followed him that day, and the next day, and the next day. What amazed me was, it seemed like the people that could see the best were the most blind. As for who I say he is, one day, I was yelling for him to heal me. And now, here we are in Jerusalem, yelling to all those who have ears to hear that he is Hosanna in the highest. He is the Messiah.
Here's my sweatshirt. You really can't see the stain on it anymore because I have a bunch more stains on it. But this was the fun sweatshirt I had that I got stained one time. I just pray for you today that if you're blind, you will be able to see. I can only imagine that when this guy's eyes were opened, what he was able to see. And there's something about in our own hearts and our own lives when we're trapped in our sin, and then our eyes are open. Many of you understand this because you were there. And your eyes were open to what Jesus could do. He came as a single sacrifice for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. He rose from the cross. He gave of himself as an offering on my behalf and on your behalf. Would you pray with me today as we think about this? Lord Jesus, I thank you for what this day means in our lives. A day when we celebrate the resurrection of you from the grave. Sometimes we are blind to you, but you continue to reach out to us. Sometimes we're blind to you, and may our eyes be open to your truth. I pray for everybody that's in this sanctuary on this day that they would understand the sacrifice that you came and you gave as an offering for our sins. May we offer ourselves back to you today. I pray for somebody here today that has never accepted you. I pray right now in the quietness of this moment they would say yes to you and they would accept you and the offering that you have provided. And may they say no turning back. Thank you that you've made the single sacrifice for our sins, and that those who accept you are being perfected into sanctification. Thank you that the Holy Spirit then will bear witness to you being in hearts and lives. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bear witness today of a change of a life from dead to alive, from old to new, from unsaved to saved, from an eternity no longer that is labeled as hell, but as eternity that's labeled as heaven. So Lord Jesus, would you provide your touch and your healing power? Thank you, God, that we can trust in you. We do that today, and we pray this all in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.